The church takes these readings from Scripture to try to bring us more deeply into the mystery of salvation. You know, we sing at Easter, "O happy fault that merited for us so great a Redeemer." And so the optimism of this feast day is God's plan of love. So the church gives us the story of the consequences of the sin, including the promise. What they call the proto-evangelion, you know, the first announcement of the good news took place when? Right after the first sin. To give us a glimpse into God. Things are better now than if Adam had never sinned. You say that, you know, one day you're sick or discouraged or just get insulted and you say, hard for me to think things are better than they would have been. But one of us is God. One among us is united, as they say, hypostatically with the very eternal divine word of God. That's the plan. And so, after going through the different people, Adam and the woman, finally, he turns to the serpent. He doesn't ask him why he did it. He knows. "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and all the wild creatures." Now, this is symbolic speech, right? That snake, everybody doesn't like, very few people like snakes, you know. They slither along the ground and they do harm. That's a symbol of Satan. You see? "I will put enmities between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." The word in the text for offspring is zera, seed. Women don't have seed. There are about seven times in Scripture where there's some connection between zera and woman. But here, this is very significant. This is the plan of salvation. You see, between your seed and hers, he will strike at your head while you will strike at his heel. There'll be a conflict, but he'll win. He'll crush your head. And then the man, Adam, calls his wife Hava, which is linked to the word for Chaya, life. She became the mother of all the living. But then there's a new Eve who is the mother in the order of eternal life. The new Eva. That's hinted at, and more than hinted at for us, in the Gospel of John, that first miracle in which God, the Son, revealed his glory, as the text says. When Our Lady says to him, "They have no wine," he says to her, "What is that to you and me, woman? No man ever called his mother woman in that culture, ever. Our Lord will talk to the Samaritan woman and call her woman. Other people, woman. Woman, as no one condemned you, but never his mother." He's saying to her, "Woman, you are this woman. So you are Eve, and I am Adam. We are the new founders of the race. And it will come through my death on the cross." And so the new wine, you see, this celebration, is that among us and one of us is God himself, born from one of us, Mary. And today, we celebrate that plan, you see, the Immaculate Conception. Why was she conceived immaculately? So that she could crush his head. Not a stain of sin in her. Also, that she could be a perfect mother. Have all the influence on her son that every mother should have. Therefore, there could not be any slightest movement of sin in her, so that that relationship was perfect. All his confidence in the Father on the human level is refracted through the immaculate attention and love and affection and physical care that Mary gave to the Son of God. And so, even on that emotional level, if you will, his love and confidence in the Father, you see, is refracted through the love and confidence he has in his mother, who never influenced him in the slightest way to anything but good, because she's immaculate, not touched at all by sin. And that's important, you see. That's the gift. Well, is it only a gift for Mary? No. It's a gift for us. Because the care that she took for Jesus, she takes for us. She's never bored to hear our stories. She loves us. And she wants to teach us, you see, to have Jesus' affection for the Father. So how does she do that? She disposes us. She has, Vatican II says, she has an influence, influxus. That's more than just prayer. That's influence. She has an influence in our lives. And what is that influence? To dispose us, to urge us, to yield to the Holy Spirit. That's her job, if you will. The Spirit then will do what? He will form our hearts to be like that of Jesus. When that starts to happen, we are ushered into this world for which all our best words are deficient. Is it affection? Is it love? Is it joy? Is it confidence? Is it... We don't have a word for the world into which we are ushered because of her influxus, so that we yield to this work of the Holy Spirit. Our heart becomes more like Jesus, and we love the Father. We love the Father. And so, you see, in that sense, she has, in an extended way, the same care for us that she had for Jesus. She gave birth to him without pain. She gave birth to us in incredible pain at the cross. But it was a pure pain, because there was no anything but embracing the will of the Father, worshiping him, being in awe of him, even as she stood there. Why is this such a great feast? Because we're urged to try to be sinless ourselves. Now, we're not going to make it, because we didn't start off sinless, but to give glory to God. And that's the work, you see, so that she can give us entrance into this world. The only word that comes to me is affection. And then we're not afraid of God. And we want to obey him. And we want to love the Father the way Jesus loves the Father, which is exactly the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God, sent his spirit of his son into us, crying, Abba. That's the world of affection. Not just my God, and he certainly is our God, my creator, my Lord, my judge, yes, but Abba. And you can do all the philology you want. You know, it's an emphatic form of the Aramaic word av, and so, but it helps. But if you want to know what the word means, you have to learn from the Holy Spirit. And the best way to do that is to be ushered into this world of affection. I have to quit. But you see, it's being ushered into this world of affection that can make us not immaculate, too late for that, but loving, trusting, enthusiastic, loving the Father with a divine affection. That's the role. And that's what crushes his head. You see? Because now we're children of God. Even in this world, we're children of God. And it has not yet appeared what we shall be. Can you imagine? And all of that because Our Lady said yes. Well, God knew her. He knew she'd say yes. But she had to say it. And that meant opening herself up to this whole plan of salvation, which she, as the greatest mystic who ever lived, and the greatest understander of Scripture who ever lived, knew what was coming. She read Isaiah 53. She knew. Yes. That's her theme song. Yes. So, just read this today. You can read the whole thing, but behold, the text says, you know, behold the handmaid, the servant of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. Whatever the Lord God has decreed and you have announced to me, yes, I want that. For love of God, and for love of my brothers and sisters, we can imitate that.